B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Dan and Rob Gronkowski with Danny Woodhead too. Don't forget Wes Welker and Coach Belichick to guide you. Yeah, Tom Brady will make it happen. Take the Pats to the Super Bowl. Just like a wise man once said, we got it on swole. Like the true fan I am, we were born to be fans. We got swole on high, a Pats fan till I die. Born to be Pats fans. Born to be Pats fans.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Very exciting morning planned for you. And then we will go about our business during the day. And then on through the weekend, where anything goes. Where anything goes. Where one can explore their sexuality. Where one can climb mountains, hike trails.
All at once. You can do all three things at once.
Hike trails?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you go out there, you hike a trail. You know who loves that is Adam 12.
Adam 12. I knew you were going there. Yep.
You know what he does is he loves picking up trash.
Yep, along the trail.
And that is his way of saving the environment, as if that even makes a minuscule dent in the environmental problems that plague the nation.
I like hiking trails too, but I don't like putting it on social media, because usually if I'm hiking on a trail, I'm trying to be away from social media, trying to just kind of be one with the earth and go back to the basics of man.
So hiking is basically just walking around there on the dirt.
You see amazing stuff. If you go to, if you're hiking, of course, in crappy places, there's no fun in that. But if you go to a place that's breathtakingly beautiful, then that's different.
Still just walking on the dirt.
That's like seeing a movie is just sitting in a movie theater. It depends on what's on the screen, what's in front of you, what are you watching, what are you observing. If you're in a place that is, out in Arches or whatever, that is a completely different experience than walking in, let's say, Worcester.
Although, hell you say.
Although I heard Worcester's kind of turned up lately.
I was just going to say, Worcester's,
of the future.
Maybe you don't see trees and whatnot, but I think there's an eyeful in Worcester you just got to know where to walk.
In fairness, they've done everything they can over the last 5 years to say, we're not the crap hole that everyone thinks we are.
Yeah.
They've sunk a ton of money into it.
I remember, maybe
you're polishing a turd, but they've spent a lot on polish. I know that.
When I was a kid, there's a school in Worcester called Clark University, and it was one of the schools that I got into and wanted, was thinking about going to. And if you drive to Clark University, you see a whole lot of stuff getting to that inner city campus. And I'm like, nope. Not going.
I remember.
Now, as you're right, things have changed since then, but I remember as a kid being taken aback as a kid from the suburbs as to what I saw driving to Clark University.
I've only been there once.
To Worcester?
Yeah. And it was for the big Ska Fest. where I was skanking and banking.
See, I've been there, I don't know, probably like 6 or 7 times, and it's always usually for an event that's only in Worcester. You know, like something at the DCU Center. I remember about, boy, this might have been in 2007. I went and saw the Guns N' Roses band that was Axl and the guys that weren't Slash, and they were playing at the DCU Center. To this day, that was the ugliest collection of human beings I've ever seen all in one building. I mean, it was just like, I remember I'm sitting there. I've never felt like more of an Adonis, and I ain't nothing to brag about. But, I mean, it was like the average might have been on a scale from 1 to 10, like a 3.
Mm.
And that was the show that he showed up at like 12:30 and people were pissed.
Were there females?
That was a Worcester 3.
Wait, a Worcester 3?
Yes.
Which is what, like a -1?
Pretty much, yes. Yes, you have to adjust the sliding scale. But it was...
Now, there were females?
Yes. Oh, yeah, there were a lot of them. There were a lot of women there at that show. It was probably...
Average weight?
It wasn't a weight thing. I mean, it was kind of almost more of just a ragged out
weathered
thing.
A weathered thing?
Weathered is a great word.
I know what you're talking about. It's a weathered thing.
So John can picture it.
Like, no. I've been in crowds like that, not at a concert, but I've seen crowds like that.
It's a tired look.
Yeah, it's the, you know, ridden hard and put up wet look.
I mean, it's unshowered, unkempt, weathered,
just the kind of past all the point of caring.
In one big just like...
Right.
Turd tornado.
Sure.
It was all sitting there at the DCU Center. And I've seen shows there, and it wasn't nearly as bad. It just happened to be this Guns N' Roses show in 2008 or whenever, 2007 in Worcester. I just remember looking around, and I remember saying, I've never felt more beautiful in my life. Like, this is really, really, almost like they checked your face before you walked in and said, sorry, too good looking, go across the street. Can't come in.
So you could have had your pick of the ladies?
No, they were all with dudes who, you know, looked like they were, you know, weathered too, but could also
fight.
Like
the bassist from Pantera?
A Rex? Yeah, Rex just kind of just stands there.
Yeah. He's not. He looks like he's been through the ringer a little bit.
If Rex wasn't in Pantera, I don't think anyone would know the difference. I don't think you could even hear Rex in the mix on most of their songs.
Well, Rex from Pantera, if you don't know, is exceptionally thin, very short, almost a mullet, and does he have a mustache?
I think he used to have a beard. I think okay. like a small beard.
Yeah, like a small beard. So he's just, you know, kind of sitting there like, yeah.
Somebody nailed it. How many pairs of pajama pants did you see at that show? Oh, yeah. That was pajama pants extravaganza.
Well, I will argue that was before the pajama pants phenomenon. Because I will argue that completely.
Maybe it was. Because they're the kind of people who would wear pajama pants now.
No, pajama pants is a very collegian thing. Because I live by Boston College, and that is people go out in their pajama pants.
Then you, sir, have never been to the Topsfield Fair.
All right, that's a good point.
And they don't wear Z Cavaricci's or like
no,
something like
they
that.
They are pajama pants, like flannel pajama pants they're wearing. And that is state fair attire if there's ever been one.
Because that is every kid that goes to Johnny's Diner is wearing pajama
Johnny's
pants. Johnny's Luncheonette.
Yep.
You're right. Very, very competitive prices there.
It's a local landmark, my friend.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this, is that it's incredibly inexpensive.
The kids get crayons.
It's a great diner, man.
Yeah,
Isn't that the place that gives the kids those little water games that you used to press the button for?
I think they've given up on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew they served booze until my friend Fierce was here. And we went there at like 8 in the morning. He started pounding beers. And you're like, oh, they do serve them.
Mm-hmm.
TJ, go ahead.
How we doing, guys?
What's up, TJ?
If I may, try to defend the city of Worcester a little bit.
Good luck.
Sure.
It's a lot of money on Pollard. You know, I won't get away from that. But there's a lot of hope being put into this minor league ballpark.
It's true.
Oh, that's throwing a lot of money at that. That's true.
I mean, realistically, it's a knockoff city. We have the knockoff arena. We have the knockoff baseball team. it's the perfect way to describe it.
It's right, the Worcester Ice Cats? That's right. Sure. I forgot about that.
And Wallach, I grew up in the neighborhood at near Clark University, and I'll tell you,
oh man,
it's still just as scary.
Okay, it's been a while since I've been there, but it's okay. That's something you wipe from the memory banks.
In fairness, I know people who like do business out there, and they said that that area around Clark University has actually gotten better. Like they put in some nice, as I said, they spent a lot of money on polish for that turn. And maybe sooner or later the turd's going to disintegrate. It's going to turn into something amazing.
Why would anyone build anything there?
Because it's cheap. Because it's cheaper than building anything around Boston.
But, I mean,
and you can still get the same workforce of people who live outside of Boston, but they'll go to Worcester instead. And it's way less expensive if you have like a factory.
I can see that goal. Yeah, you live out near 495, it's equidistant.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
And that's why it's becoming like there's a lot of businesses actually moving out to Worcester for that reason. They've been outpriced in Boston. And because of that, that's why the company or the city out there is trying to sink so much money into it. And right now, it's not quite working.
They did a man versus food there.
Which one? What was the challenge?
Oh, well, I can tell you. I don't remember, but they did a man versus food.
Okay.
And he had to accomplish some great goal. And it was Casey, though, and he never gets to do them.
Casey.
You'll see him in a commercial. He's a... Adam Richman, though, was too good for it. He said, I'm not eating no more. And then he said, all right, Fatso.
And I'm look not watching at you. How his career took off after that.
It's like, you're going to eat. He went to Yale Drama School.
Yep.
And you're like, you eat. That's what you do. Shove that food down your face, you Fatso. What do you think? People want to watch you do comedy? Come on. This new guy, though, he's like a silly goose. I don't like them.
Have not watched. I think I watched one episode, and I thought, no, this is.
It's so easy to consume. If it's on, you gotta. I mean, you know.
But I don't find anything endearing about him. For some reason, I watched Adam Richman because, if for some reason he was engaging in what he did, this guy's not engaging at all in any respect.
No, he doesn't win anything either.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's like,
actually,
never
the
wins.
One episode I saw he did lose. That's true.
Yeah, he never
wins. I kind of like that. He's just, he's trying. What if he's just like a normal dude? Can't hit it. Sorry, done.
No, seriously.
Yeah, like, there's no point of the show unless
the show. Can't hit it.
Unless you win. The first season, I think the second season, he's winning more.
Okay.
But like the first season, he never won. And I can go there and not win. I mean, what the hell's your point?
Let's just call it man loses to food.
Yeah, man, regular guy just sits there.
Food wins. Every week.
Yeah.
I don't even know, is that on the Food Network? What channel is it on?
It's got to be, right? I don't think that's an Anthony Bourdain travel channel thing. That's got to be the Food Network.
I think that is on the travel channel.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that is on the travel channel. But, I've seen Casey Webb is his name.
Okay.
He's got a red hair and a red mustache. And he is not very charming. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
When Antonio Brown gets on social media, we all win.
It's true. And there is very real drama going on with the Patriots around the Antonio Brown story. Something that you fools didn't believe. Self-satisfied grunt.
I see that.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tub.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Dutcher and Rich.
What happened last night?
.5 The Sports Hub with Dutcher and Rich. Rich, what happened yesterday?
Well, Antonio Brown was apparently doing some tweeting while completing his online courses because my guy was active yesterday. First off, he posted about a minute-long video on Instagram Live of just his ab muscles with rap music playing in the background.
Yeah, that was just enough time for me to finish.
I mean, I'm wondering what he thought that was going to do, other than, of course, arouse everyone in this room. Maybe he was thinking that owners of teams would go, whoa, look at those abs, must sign abs.
It was to titillate.
Maybe a lot of hearts were flying up on the right side of the screen, so you know people were liking it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then in what seemed like a complete 180 from his whole I'm quitting the NFL thing, he tweeted yesterday afternoon, quote, I'm still the best, why stop now? And he followed that up with, the game need me, I'm like test answers. 3 hours later, he wrote, no more Nikes. And then an hour after that, he tweeted, quote, next week, I'm going to practice at every high school one day of week starting in Miami. Send school info now.
Maybe in which the high schools will force him to take an English class.
Maybe that's true.
Imagine if he had to pass a test to get on campus and use the field.
He'd be, like
he'd be out in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
it would be like Billy Madison. He would just struggle completely.
I'm sure after that tweet, by the way, every learning institution in Southern Florida wrote, dear Mr. Antonio Brown, who's in the middle of a civil suit involving rape, we would love to have you amongst our 16 and 17-year-olds. Where do we sign up?
You'd be surprised.
It's true.
You're probably right. Yeah. And surprise. He did get some blowback from some current players after Antonio Brown tweeted, the game need me, I'm like the test answers. Golden Tate simply replied, what? So Antonio Brown answered, you don't listen to that Lil Wayne squad, clearly over your head. Tate then replies, nah, I definitely listened to it. Glad you clarified it, though. And that's when Antonio Brown replied, Sports Illustrated reporter who got assault on his record will probably say AB thinks the game needs him. Then 50 analysts will sprinkle.
What?
All right.
Well, the SI guy is the guy who assaulted the cab
It's Robert
driver.
Klemko. Yeah, the guy who, you know, we had on who wrote that article who that ultimately led to him
sure.
being dismissed.
Right.
Well, I mean, what led to him being dismissed from the Patriots wasn't the article. It was him threatening the woman who was in that article. And then Eric Weddle, a safety for the Rams, chimed in because Twitter's so much fun. After mocking Antonio Brown about him saying the game needed him, Weddle wrote that it definitely doesn't. And when a fan responded saying that Weddle couldn't guard Antonio Brown, Weddle said, don't need to. He isn't on the team.
That well, may be the best line of the whole thing.
Well, that pissed off Antonio Brown.
Of course it did.
Plenty. He wrote back, you need some attention, little man. Glad I put that stuff arm in your neck in Pittsburgh. You deserved it, little Weedle. Weddle then responded, ha, 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 ha. AB, when are you ever going to learn that it isn't about you? Never was and never will be. Got a game to get ready for. Good luck, my guy. To which Antonio responded, bro, I don't even know you. Don't call me AB. That's my NFL name, dummy. I'm not on your team. Never been. Shut your mouth, jabroni. And then all of a sudden he turns into.
Here we go.
Baby.
The Iron Sheik. So,
jabroni.
Mm-hmm, I humble you, jabroni.
I humble you, jabroni.
Well, Weddle then responded, quote, you're not making.
Iran number one. Russia number one. America. Ha.
No, this would not be Iron Sheik Antonio Brown. This would be Weddle who's responding now. He said, you're not making any sense, bud. Glad you're not on my team. Call yourself whatever you want. Doesn't matter one bit to me. Good luck at CMU, my bro. Is that the Central Michigan University? And then Amy responded, keep you luck, duck. Listen to your team. Stay focused on your opponent, not AB. AB is the brand, not the individual. Clearly an AB fan, even know about education. Oh, really? I don't know what any of that meant.
No, he's gone illiterate. Yeah. I mean, it's almost indecipherable.
It's like as if Shakespeare was on Twitter.
But then I'll get an email saying that I'm out of the loop and I don't understand it anymore.
Anybody know what that means? Even know about education. Oh, really? So there you go. He continues to stay on social media, which is fantastic because, you know, as long as he's not, you know, as long as he's at a distance doing this, it's fun and entertaining. So a new article by Tommy Curran sheds a little more light onto the potential rift internally regarding the handling of Antonio Brown's dismissal. So Curran wrote, here's what Brown left behind. A bummed out quarterback who had 5 practices in 1 game with an ultra rare talent. He went all in trying to make it work, got close to Brown, and tried to understand and help him. He's not happy Brown got flushed, both because the football was going to be sublime and Brady thought Brown was reachable. Maybe he didn't see those texts. I was told the practice... by the way, that was me, not Tommy Curran saying that. I was told the practice performance of Brady when Brown was on the field was almost perfect. There were more than a half dozen plays Brown made that were breathtaking. who was beyond anything Brady had ever worked with. Brady was trying to help Brown stabilize. He disagrees with the business decision made by Robert Kraft to jettison Brown. That's a pretty bold statement, seeing that Brady played with Randy Moss.
I was just going to say, he threw passes to the top wide, top deep threat in the history of the game.
Well,
I mean, and this guy's better than that?
He was sublime.
I'd say he could be sublime if they would have stayed together. But then he talks about Brady's comments with our favorite guy, Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
I know you know Tom.
Right. Oprah knows Tom. Mm-hmm. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
You notice, sir, you didn't know anyone.
Right. You knew Tom. That was it.
That's it. That's your wife you knew more people than you did.
No one else wanted to be friends with you.
Yeah.
No one.
Sure, his wife's a big beauty.
But it was not that comment that Tommy Curran mentioned. It was this one when he said this.
Tom, there's been reports that you and Bill Belichick were on one side and that you are not on the same page with Bob Kraft, who decided to release Antonio Brown. Is that accurate?
Well, I think there's always reports and speculation about a lot of things that I have said or have not said or been a part of. The reality is I don't make any personnel decisions. I don't decide to sign players. I don't decide to trade them. I don't decide to release them.
So there was that clip, and then there was the one where he said, I wished that Robert Kraft had not shared our private conversation. You remember when that was in the thing?
And
one small bit of actual news.
I had
news.
Speculated that was not good.
And I said the same thing.
Nope.
Yeah, I did. I said that was the one bit of news.
Rich, I don't remember. I'm kidding.
but I believe that is also what Tommy Curran is pointing out here. He said that that's now the third time that Brady has reiterated that Kraft's candor in that instance irritated him, which brings us to Bill Belichick. Tom, he says, I reported last Friday evening that the decision to release Brown was unanimous, that the threatening texts were, quote, a bridge too far. And after more conversations this week, I've come to understand that unanimous decision wasn't easily reached. Belichick accepted the decision and understood it, but he was by no means leading the charge to move on. And if Kraft hadn't insisted, Brown would probably still be here.
Yeah, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think
it's shocking that Bill Belichick would ignore that.
He said, which one can logically conclude is why Brown made sure to show appreciation for Belichick in social media posts after his release while sending drone strikes at Kraft on Sunday morning.
Falls in line with my thinking.
Yep. He said, why, when asked, was that the last straw, did Belichick not at least mumble something to Dana Jacobson about the decision being what was best for the football team? It's because he isn't sold that it was the best thing for the football team. And the real answer, quote, Robert is the boss and the heat got too hot, would have been less prudent than an icy stare. And Brady, as he made very clear, is in, quote, don't ask me, I just work here mode. And Belichick has to know that the entire Brown affair made life more difficult for the owner. They still move on, but there will be fallout and it will be for the owner. How many personnel decisions has Kraft insisted he made in 20 years with Belichick? To my knowledge, none. Everybody doesn't have to like it, and they don't, but they'll have to live with it. In the end, the Cyclone known as Antonio is the one to, quote, blame for the fact that the owner, coach, and quarterback ended up at odds. So this kind of just adds more color to the rumors that we had been hearing. And, I mean, okay, put it this way. Antonio Brown goes on Twitter on Sunday morning and posts something about Robert Kraft going to the massage parlor. And then a couple days later, Antonio Brown puts out an Instagram post that's got him, remember, the star on the side of his head? And Tom Brady likes it. He liked that post.
Yeah, they both, him and Tom Brady, for some reason, felt that he needed Antonio Brown and Bill Belichick, to no one's surprise. And you can go to defend him all you want. It could care less about someone's character.
Like, if Kraft's your guy, like, if you're Tom Brady and you love Robert Kraft as much as, like, we were kind of all led to believe, you know, I know that this has been a weird offseason with the whole, you know, one-year deal and all this. But if you truly believe that he loves Robert Kraft and would do anything for him, do you think that he would, in any way, even as a like on an Instagram page, support a guy who ripped on one of your great friends for being in a massage parlor?
No, Brady's obviously pissed about his contract situation, and Bill Belichick doesn't care about anything anymore.
He keeps dropping all these hints, and anyone who's going to sit here and go that everything's perfect in Brady and Kraftland, I mean, there's been one thing after the next, after the next, after the next.
It's just 20 years. And then it's a good thing they're winning, because if they weren't, this thing would all blow up.
And it's going to be fine throughout the season, but I'm more worried about what this means with him staying with the team after this year. There was the selling of the house. There was the contract, him being, you know, reportedly not happy with the way things went, and that's why it's structured the way it is, where he can leave after this year. And then if put it this way, Fred, if like some guy who had done like something awful to you, awful, like I'd you know, called you out for some arrest or something like that, that person would essentially be dead to me. I'm not going on social media and liking any of his posts. You know what right. I mean? So that's just another little nugget. Everything's going to be fine this season, but it just makes me worry that this all leads up to, unfortunately, a divorce at the end of the season.
If he leaves, it will be one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
I think if things stay the way they are, I mean, I think everyone's going to decide to go their separate ways. Things have obviously changed from 5 years ago. It's not the same. And you're right, 20 years is a long time for something like this to happen. It's unprecedented. But there's still time to fix this thing. There's still time.
Yeah, 20 years is unprecedented in how long this relationship, this three-way, this devil's three-way has been going on. And we'll find out how it ends.
Three-way.
It is a devil.
The visual just popped to my head. It's fantastic.
It is a devil's three-way. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, so there are some people on the Red Sox who are peeved with someone who didn't play baseball the right way yesterday.
Oh, this is great. Rules.
For a game that meant nothing, this was great.
Yep.
it
was interesting.
All right, here are the headlines. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
On the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
Are you ready for this? We're ready for this. Are you ready for this? We're ready for this. What we just can't miss.
We just can't miss.
What we just can't miss.
With a beat like this.
It's the joint. We're gonna prove to the world that. Everybody, we know the real deal. We got
the 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
All right, so yesterday was a completely meaningless game between two teams that are not going to the postseason, the Red Sox and the Rangers. Except for one guy, it wasn't meaningless. Rangers starter Mike Minor, who in the ninth inning was one strikeout away from having 200 strikeouts on the season. Now, he doesn't gain anything financial from hitting 200 strikeouts, just a point of pride to hit that milestone. So with one out and two chances remaining to reach 200, and Chris Owings at the plate, Minor throws one towards home, and
1-1. And popped up. And a play for Guzman. And foul ground, and it's going
to
drop.
He told him to drop it.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, letting a pop-up fall?
That's going to be debatable. You know, a lot of times, there is one time that you would drop a pop-up, and that's with the winning run at third, with the ball hit out in the outfield. If you catch it with less than two outs, clearly the winning run would score. You drop it on purpose. Any other time, it's going to be debatable.
Yeah, that was Nesson, and that was an obvious intentional drop, as easy an out as you can have, but the ball was about to hit the glove, and then he pulled a Toro and sidestepped the ball dropping to the ground, and then, of course, moments later.
1-2. And that's going to be in there for strike three. So he gets number 200 after they allowed the pop-up to fall in.
Yep, so Minor strikes out Owings to secure the milestone, and there was much rejoicing. He immediately left the game after that with two outs in the ninth inning after throwing 126 pitches. After the game, Red Sox were salty about that one.
I don't know. I'm just happy our guys are playing the game the right way. We're playing hard till the end. You saw the effort, and that's what it's all about.
Playing the game the right way. On top of, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm like, hey, thanks for giving us the extra swing, the extra chance.
What? Dan makes a good point that they left Eduardo Rodriguez in the other night to give him the chance.
He would have been yanked any other night.
So he gave up seven runs in five innings.
You catch that foul ball. That's absolutely ludicrous.
But the outrage that has come from everybody surrounding this entire thing, when you buy a ticket and you watch, because I read the Herald this morning. There's a big finger wagging thing about it. It says, the whole thing was bad theater and only more of a reason for folks to turn off the television, stop going to games, demand better from everyone involved. And he goes on and on and on. And that is a, when you're watching a game between two teams that you know aren't going to the postseason, what kind of product do you expect?
I would be furious if I was coaching the other, if I was managing the other team and the guy did that. I'd be out of my mind. That's just Bush League crap.
Yeah, the ball landed, 5 feet foul along the first base line between the home plate and first base?
Yeah, it's one of those, you're just standing there, and then you hear somebody yelling from the dugout, like, drop it, and he goes, oh, yeah, and he steps out of the way.
You got 200 strikeouts. Yeah. Congratulations. You're a regular Nolan Ryan.
Which now everyone remembers the reason you got 200 strikeouts was because they let a ball drop.
But that's the thing. No one's going to remember that he struck out 200 people next week.
I don't get why he cares so much.
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to compare the two, 20 wins is much more of a feat than 200 strikeouts.
That's my point is, why do you care about 200 strikeouts? Well,
like, if the guy was hitting a bonus or something like that.
No, but just the ball.
To me, I would go, all right, you're doing your boy a solid. All right, I understand that.
Fine. And then
that's like when, Brady will throw a guy, or a quarterback will find out that one of his receivers needs one more reception near the end of the season, and he'll just throw, a garbage pass to him.
That's fine.
There you go. You're
hooking
your guy.
That's fine. But in the course of a baseball game, especially a meaningless one, not especially in a meeting, just in any situation, catch the ball. It would annoy the hell out of me if I was managing the Red Sox and if I was a player.
Or if you're managing the Rangers, not the Red Sox. No, the Red Sox is like, who cares? As a matter of fact, it benefits you.
Well, actually, Alex Cora cared at the end.
Which I thought was pretty
Alex Cora cared.
Stupid.
We play our players play the game the right way.
No, I would have been furious if I was Alex Cora.
Why?
And he was.
Why?
He wasn't happy.
Why would you be happy if you were him?
Because you're showing up my player then. Because you dropped
the ball.
You're
making a mockery of a game. Now, granted, the game didn't mean anything. And if you look at the players on the field for the Red Sox at the end of the game, I mean, Sandy Leone was playing first base. You got guys you're never going to see again out there. But still, I mean, the game's supposed to be played a certain way. It's a pop-up. It's there. You catch it.
And you're showing my you're showing my guy up. By dropping that and then getting the strikeout, you're like you're showing him up.
It would have been awesome if Owings would have just booted that one.
Well, that would have been great.
It would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome, but it didn't happen. I'm just old school like that, and I apologize.
No, it's
but I, it would have driven me crazy if I was Alex Cora.
Well,
I
agree. This to me is the equivalent of going to an NBA game, one of the last three ones of the season, and seeing anyone but the stars on the court. It's like, all right, are you pissed off? No, that's just the way it is. It's like, who cares at that point?
No, but you're going for a record. Look, I'll make you an example.
It was stupid.
Celtics were really, really bad, and I forget what year it is, mid to late 90s, where they were winning 15 to 20 games in a season. And the only thing that team had was Dana Barros had hit a three in 97 straight games, and he was one short of the NBA record. That was the one thing. The last 5 minutes of a basketball game in April was Dana Barros shooting threes with three guys on him.
Well, you remember,
that's what this reminds me of, I thought it was ridiculous then.
Well, you remember when Paul Pierce came back for his final game at the TD Garden?
Yes.
And I think it was a blowout at that point. The Celtics were getting killed. And they were basically letting Paul Pierce shoot threes to see if he would be able to score or
Isaiah Thomas left him alone for a three at the end of the game.
Nowitzki when
they
came.
Did it with Nowitzki too. Yep,
exactly.
The same thing with Dirk Nowitzki.
Now it's a little different because those guys are Hall of Famers and Mike Minor will never be one.
I mean, by the way,
it's different also because it's
the same thing. Letting off of somebody and letting them shoot is the exact same thing.
No, but
as
that's
a ball
the
fall.
Team's decision, the opposing team's decision to let the guy shoot.
It's not the home team saying like it was with the Celtics. You know, it's not the home team passing the ball around trying to find the one guy who can shoot a three and make one, even though my team is going to finish 20-62.
I do like what the Rangers manager Chris Woodward was saying, that he did say, well, you know, maybe it was a borderline of crossing the line, but then he kept flipping it back at the Red Sox, blaming them for not striking out earlier in the game. Mm. Like, okay, how dare this team not strike out earlier?
I just it would have driven me crazy.
Seriously, Mike Minor, a guy who didn't miss a start, had over 200 innings, by the way, had over like 210 innings. In today's day and age, if you strike out less than one guy an inning,
I know.
I mean, that's not what I'm saying. It's not an impressive thing.
I don't understand why he wanted 200 strikeouts so badly.
And did you see too, Fred? After that ball was dropped, I don't know if you saw the final strikeout. It didn't look like a strike. It was almost as if the ump wanted it to happen as well.
He's they
like,
want to get out of there at the end of the season.
Let's give him the strikeout.
You're an umpire. Okay, I got this game. Nobody cares. There are four games left of the season. I'm not upping in the playoffs. I'm leaving.
I think it was C.B. Buckner, everyone's favorite behind the plate, too. He was just like, all right, just give it to him.
It would bother me in Little League, and it would bother me more in the majors. I mean, it would drive me crazy.
Somebody said you guys should do a new segment with Wallach on a lie detector because I bet he's still watching every one of these Red Sox games.
I saw the end of the game yesterday. I did not watch the whole thing, but I did see the end. It was an afternoon game, for God's sake.
I didn't watch it live, but I saw him drop that pop fly, and I was...
Yeah, I saw the end of it.
I said, what a Bush League garbage. Wow, you got 200 strikeouts, stupid.
All right, look at the box score. I'm not watching these games. Look at it. Not that anyone cares, but if you're wondering whether or not I'm watching these games, I want you to look at the starting lineup and look at the people who were on the field at the end of the game yesterday for the Red Sox.
Well, the good news is, I'm not watching. Trust me.
The
good news is the Cubs are going to do that the last four games of the season, and they know Milwaukee's going to get mad, and they don't care. All right, we'll be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
Let's get to a new proposal. More games in the NFL? Maybe.
Interesting.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Yeah. And just like that, we back again. Little brother. Yeah, Mike Predator, eat any competitor. Had to double back, cause I've been way ahead of the curve that they set in the nerve they forgetting the heard that we ushered in, heard we were suffering.
No, 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, you've heard it for a while. The owners won an 18-game season. The players keep pushing back. And now, maybe there's a compromise. It sounds like the NFL has dropped their proposal for 18 games. It is now focused on expanding the regular season to 17 games. Nice round number. Owners were briefed on the change at committee meetings this week. The current schedule, as you know, is 16. But one of the sources was saying in this article that I was reading about it, not enough owners support the 18 and players wouldn't go for it either. So they're trying to find some sort of compromise. Now, the 17-game proposal would be paired with a reduction in the preseason by a game or two from the current four. But there's a lot of players saying that, hey, we don't usually play in the preseason if you're a star player anyway.
Exactly.
So all this does
they just want a bigger cut.
Yep. And so there's 18 months remaining on this 10-year collective bargaining agreement. So, I mean, it's getting down to the point where they need to start making some decisions. And one of the ideas that was floated earlier was that if there was an 18-game season, the idea that players could take two games off.
Yeah.
And that idea, of course, was immediately just shot down. Like, well, what do you say to the people who spent $1 zillion on a Patriots game and show up and Brady's not playing?
Or how it affects, ultimately, the playoff situation. I mean, it completely screws everything up.
And the thing is, with the 17th game, does that mean the players are still allowed one extra week off in addition to the bye week? And
now, that was not specified, because you're right.
Do we make the same money for playing 17 games as we do 16, or is it prorated? If I'm the players, I want to get paid for that extra game.
The players will do it, but what they want is a bigger chunk of the entire revenue.
Sure.
Like a bigger percentage of total revenue.
And I don't think the owners are giving that back.
And when you say total revenue,
there's not going to be, then they won't have a deal.
I know that.
You say that, but the owners always win in the NFL.
They have.
Always.
They have before.
There's no league where the players have less rights and less bargaining power than the NFL. I mean, the contracts that aren't guaranteed, the ability to just screw these guys over. That's why whenever these people push for more money and more money and more money, a lot of people wave their finger. And to that I say, man, you get everything that you can get in the NFL guaranteed while you can.
There's been a small movement, like Cousins had all that money guaranteed up front from Minnesota. Now, granted, that's a silly-ass contract. But it's kind of like a glacier moving forward for at least the top of the rank and file. But no, the middlemen and the practice squad guys and the other guys, they get screwed. And that's not going to change in the new CBA either.
Well, then they won't play 17 games.
Do you really think, is there a clamoring for more football?
No.
Nope.
Like, it's kind of perfect as is. Now, the preseason, I almost just wish they had like two, or they took away a game or two. But that was just because those games are so ridiculous. But if they're valuable to the coaches to get a good roster together, then I don't see a problem. You know
what you're
getting.
The only reason that I would care about, I don't watch them. The only reason I would care about preseason games is if I had season tickets.
And you have to pay for those.
And I had to pay for them. But as someone who doesn't have season tickets, I could care less. It's like, you know, if CSI's on, I'm not going to watch it. They can make as many CSIs as they want. It doesn't affect me.
And then there was also the proposal to expand the playoffs, which was weird because I still don't quite understand. Like, there would have been a bye week for the top. Maybe Bert's coming in. Maybe he can explain what was going on there and the reality of whether any of this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, this is something the owners really, really want. And I bet because, once again, there's almost no power with the players. They're going to get it. And I also think that this is the same NFL that continues to say we care about our players' safety.
And not if you add another game, you don't.
You add another game, you are a liar.
And you remember how the players are so angry that Roger Goodell had all the power and they talked a good game? Richard Sherman specifically a couple of years ago talked a real big game about just wait till we get to the bargaining table again. We'll see. I mean, it's the CBA is up after next season and we'll see if the players actually follow through. They haven't so far.
Well, they should get a bigger piece of the pie, and they will certainly fight for it. So we'll see how that all goes down. Goes down in the streets.
By the way,
with the peeps.
John from Vegas is tweeting me. We talked a minute ago about the Tommy Curran article about how there's a little bit of a rift right now.
Yep.
Brady wanted to keep him. It sounded like Belichick wanted to keep him, but understood after some prodding by the Crafts. To get rid of him, and I did not realize this. John Vegas says, you guys skipped over the best part of the current article where he said, quote, Brady is not happy Brown got flushed. He said, perfect opportunity for some fart drops.
Well, that's on you.
Isn't there a song that Brown made about that very situation? Station just won a Marconi last night.
That's right.
And that's the reason why.
That's it.
I will tell you this, is that John for Vegas needs to do something again.
There's other people trying to rip off John for Vegas, and they're not very good at it. John from Vegas is the king.
Well, like, John from Vegas needs to cook something up. I was thinking about that last night. John for Vegas is very clever.
He's such a talent at what he does. And to have him just there not being used really is just, it's a waste. It's like, you know, it's Antonio Brown standing on the sidelines not playing.
Yep.
Except unlike Antonio Brown, John for Vegas hasn't gone insane.
Still eligible to play.
Still eligible to play.
John for Vegas.
He hasn't gone insane.
Not yet.
He's been insane. But yes, John for Vegas needs to get something cooking because he was going to do something for the James Dolan concert.
Which, by the way he described it sounded brilliant.
Yeah.
And it would have been amazing.
It would have been, John from Vegas is getting back. I don't care if he pranks shows. That's been done. John from Vegas got to cook something up.
He's that good. Doesn't even have to be that. He's multidimensional when it comes to effing with people.
Yeah. All right. No commercials here. Just the headlines. We'll be joined by Bert Breer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.